Okay, thank you to those of you who have joined us in person, as always, and thank you to those who have joined us on the Zoom. It's good to see everyone back. Hope everyone had a nice week last week. So Parsha Yitro, great Parsha, really jam-packed, incredible Parsha. Let's get right into it. First things first, Yitro comes to be with the Jewish people after discovering something that led him to say that, okay, this was the true God, right? We know that Yitro, Rashi tells us previously, Yitro had tried out every single one of the different Avodah Zarahs, and he comes to choose that this was, you know, finally comes to revelation that this is the true one. This is the true God. So what was it? What was it that got Yitro to come? So look at the first pasuk of this week's Parsha, Vayishma Yitro, Kohen Midyan. Yitro heard Chose Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe, as kol asher asa Elohim l'Moshe, everything that Hashem had done for Moshe, el Yisrael Amon, and everything that he did for the Jewish people, ki hotzi Hashem es Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim, that he had taken the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Rashi picks up on the words Vayishma Yisrael and asks, mashmu Hashem alba, what exactly did he hear? What was it exactly that got Yisrael to come? What was it? And he explains, kriyas yamsuf u'muhamas amalek. It was the two events of Kriyas Yamsuf and Muhammad Amalek. So if we look at this list, it's interesting. Yes, two huge events, Kriyas Yamsuf, Muhammad Amalek, but we're missing something very big here. Wait, what are we missing? We're missing the Makos. What about the Makos? Was that not impressive for Yisro? Was that not something that got him to cut? Like, was he like, oh, the Makos? Yeah, no, that was nothing too good. Kriyas Yamsuf, Muhammad Amalek. Like, what happened? Like, what do you mean? He wasn't impressed by the Makos? So the Maharal asked this question. And the Maharal explains. The Maharal explains, following along, we'll start with the underlined words right over here, V'yesh Lomar. Maharal explains, V'yesh Lomar ki kol shar hanisim hayu pratim. All of the other miracles in reference to the Makos, they were all pratim. They were all like little, they were like kind of like details. Kemosh amro haratumim, Like Paro sorcerers, it said, Etzba Elokimbi. It's a finger of God. Right? What do we know about a finger? A finger is a part of a hand. But it's not the total hand. Each finger is its own part. Right? Yisro, of course the Makos were impressive. But they, each and every single one of the Makos was its own specific thing. It was a prati. It was something specific to it, not showing that necessarily that Hashem, that God was the greatest God in comparison to the others that Yisro was comparing it to. What do I mean? Yisro, looking at the fact that Yisro had experienced and kind of tried out every single so to speak God or Avodah Zarah. He felt like, okay, well, there's a god of wind, there's a god of fire. So there could be a god of blood, there could be a god of lice, there could be a god of hail, just like that. So therefore, the fact that the Makos happened, that didn't prove to Yisro that this is the true God. Okay, fine. So fine. Now we know why the Makos weren't mentioned. But then what was it about Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchamas Amalek that really was like, okay, wow, Yisro's like, I'm sold, I got it. So what was it? So let's go now down to, we'll start with the bolded words, l'kach, b'makos pratios, shehayu b'mitzrayim, logaram shevo, right, this is what we just said. With the makos pratios and mitzrayim, that did not cause Yisro, logaram sheyavo Yisro lahatir, ki hu yisbarach gadol mikol elokim. That didn't cause Yisro. Ad shara mechamas amalek v'kriyas yamsuf. Why? What's specific about kriyas, mechamas amalek and kriyas yamsuf? So first things first, Mechamas Amalek haya bashamayim. Mechamas Amalek showed Yisro that Hashem was in total control of the heavens. In what way? And we know that the sun, Hashem made this miracle happen, that the sun never set. That incredible miracle showed Yisro, it wasn't necessarily just that we won the war. Yes, that was obviously a huge big deal. But in what way did we win the war? By the fact that the sun didn't set, that showed Yisro, okay, Hashem has total control over the Shemayim. Okay, so now Yisro is impressed. But that's not enough for him. Because that would make sense. It would make sense that God has control over the Shemayim. But that wasn't enough for him. He also needed one more thing. Because if that would be true, he would come from that. Fine. But there was one other thing. He needed Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? What about Kriyas Yamsuf? Go to the next underlined lines. The Chayin Kriyas Yamsuf Hoya Nechshav Beklal Ha'olam Ki Hayam Hu Yesod Hamayim. The Maharal is saying something extremely deep here. The Kriyas Yamsuf symbolized much more than just that Yamsuf. As we know, Chazal tell us that every single water in the world split at that time. Because the Yamsuf represented all of the water. And what does that really represent is that Hashem has total control on not just the Shemayim, but also on the Aretz. And that showed Yisro, we're dealing with a God, with the God, that literally controls Shemayim v'Aretz. And right after Yisro saw both of these events, that's when he came to this realization that we're dealing with, okay, this is the real thing. This is legit. And that was why Yisro came. And that's, again, why the Makos were not enough, but specifically needed the Milchamas Amalek and the Kriyas Yamsuf to show, again, this idea that Hashem is in total control of every single thing. So that's idea number one. Moving on to idea number two. Idea number two, as I titled here, the three ways to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. Right, we know that this week's Parsha, amazing, huge, huge event. We got the Torah, amazing. Got to Har Sinai. So if we study this psukim, maybe we can learn a little bit more about how the Jewish people at that time prepared for receiving the Torah. So perhaps we can learn a little more. So let's look at the psukim. First pasuk says, "Bachodesh Hashlishi letzeis bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim." In the third month of when the Jewish people had left Mitzrayim, "Bayom hazeh bo midbar Sinai." And that day they came to Midbar Sinai. Which sounds like Har Sinai because it's the desert that Har Sinai was in. Okay, good. Pasuk Beis. Vayisu me'refidim. They traveled from Refidim. Vayavo midbar Sinai. And they came to midbar Sinai. Vayachanu ba'midbar. They encamped in the desert. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. And they encamped opposite the mountain. Now, if we read these psukim closely, maybe we notice there's something wrong with these psukim. All right, let's read the psukim very closely again. The end of Pasuk Aleph tells us, "Bayom hazeh bo min bar Sinai." So now we know, what do we know now? We know that they came to Har Sinai. They came to Midbar Sinai. Okay. And then the next Pasuk tells us, they traveled from Refidim and they came to Midbar Sinai. Wait, hold on. Didn't the Pasuk just tell us that they're already in Midbar Sinai? All right, what? These psukim seem to be out of order. Right? It should have first told us, they traveled from Refidim and then they went to Midbar Sinai. And then after that, Pasuk should have come Pasuk Aleph saying, okay, when did this happen? It happened in the third month. These psukim seem to be out of order. This is not my question. This is the question of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So the Or HaChaim explains. He says, he asks right at the top, Kasha lama icher hamuktam. Ki pasuk zehaya lo lahaktim kodem pasuk shalafanav. Pasuk Beis should have been first before pasuk Aleph. So look what he says. The underlined bolded words. The Or HaChaim says the answer is in a very important yesod, an idea that the Rambam describes at length. The idea of ahava mikalkelas hashura. What does that mean? Sometimes love makes a person do crazy things. Person gets lovesick, does crazy, crazy things. What does that mean? How does that have anything to do with these psukim? So Or HaChaim goes on to explain in a fascinating way that what happened here was that Hashem, think about it, Hashem created the world with really one goal in mind. The Jewish people should get the Torah. That's all. That was the purpose of the creation of the world was for the Jewish people to get the Torah and keep the Torah. So think about it. Hashem has this moment. There's been a lot of build up to this moment. Hashem is, and obviously we can't really understand or apply emotions to Hashem, but Hashem, for our understanding at least, Hashem is so excited. And the Or HaChaim describes that. He says, Hashem is so excited that he kind of just blurts out the first pasuk. He He's excited that they're finally getting to Midbar Sinai. So Hashem quickly blurts it out. And then he writes, I forgot to tell you, by the way, they came from Rephidim to Midbar Sinai. So that's why, because of the love of Hashem for the Jewish people, which is such a beautiful idea, Hashem loves us so much and was so excited to give to us and to give us His Torah, that was why Pasuk Aleph came first. So it's a beautiful pshat, amazing pshat. But I think an important question is needed here. We need to understand this a little deeper. Once we say Pasuk Aleph, so just leave it there. We already know that they came to Midbar Sinai. Why does it also need to tell us Vayisu Mirfidim? Like, yes, obviously the Torah is going in its usual way of always telling us from where they went, you know, where they traveled and from one place to next place. But why does it need to tell us Vayisu Mirfidim Vayavo Midbar Sinai? Why is that necessary? We already know they came to Midbar Sinai. So there must be something deeper going on here. And I think if we look at this pasuk, we can actually learn the three ways that the Jewish people prepared for Kabbalah Torah. So first things first, is that we see that the Jewish people needed to strengthen themselves in their learning and observance of the Torah. What do I mean? They didn't get the Torah yet. They didn't get the Torah yet, but there were certain things that Hashem had already commanded them about and had told to them through Moshe leading up to this moment, and they already knew. But they were getting weaker in them. How do I know? The words Vayisu Mirfidim, look at the words Vayisu Mirfidim. They traveled from Rephidim. What happened in Rephidim? What happened in Rephidim? Rephidim is where Amalek fought against us. Right? And the Gemara tells us that Amalek fought against us. Why? Because we became weak in our observance of the Torah, in our observance of the mitzvahs that Hashem had already given to us. This is the Chizkuni explains this. He quotes the Gemara Nedarim, and he says that just that this pasuk of Vayisu Mirfidim refers to the tshuva that the Jewish people did by leaving Rafidim, meaning they left behind that weakness. They strengthened themselves, and therefore the first way that we prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah, that the way that the Jewish people prepared themselves, was by strengthening themselves in their observance of it. Because if you strengthen yourself in the observance of the Torah, then it's going to be easy to receive the Torah and to be more open to the Torah. That's idea number one. The second way that they prepared is the idea of fixing our midos, our character traits, specifically the character trait of gaiva, of haughtiness. Why? How do we see that? We see that in the words, going back to the pasuk, Vayachanu Bamidbar, that they encamped in the desert. The Gemara Nedarim tells us that any person who makes themselves into a midbar, makes themselves into a desert, in a sense that they're open to everyone, that they humble themselves, any person who humbles themselves, the Torah is given to them as a gift. So therefore we learn from this, Vayachanu Bamidbar, they encamped in the mountain in the desert. What does that mean? They made themselves lowly. They humbled themselves. We actually, a couple weeks ago in Daf Yomi, if anyone's following the Daf, we had this a couple weeks ago in a story in the Gemara in Daf Yomi in Pesachim, where the Gemara tells us about a story about Hillel. Hillel, who elsewhere in Shas, in Gemara and Shabbos, tells us that Hillel is known for his anava, and that we should be as humble as Hillel. The Gemara tells us that there was a story once where there's a certain town where they didn't know the laws so well, and they went and they asked Hillel a question. Well, they said, who would know the answer to this question? And they said, Hillel would know the answer. So they go and they said, okay, everyone, please bring Hillel to us. So they brought Hillel, and Hillel answered their question. And they said, wow, how did you know this? And he said, because I did Shemush. Fine. And then the next line in the Gemara starts telling us how Hillel starts giving the people a little bit of Musar, saying, the reason you don't know these halachos is because you didn't do Shemush. Okay. And then the next line in the Gemara tells us what happened next. They came to him, they said, oh, we have another question. And he says, sorry, I forgot the halacha. The Gemara then goes on to say that the reason he forgot the halacha was because he got a little bit haughty. So again, we see this connection between our haughtiness, or the opposite, our being humble, that allows us to receive the Torah. So again, the second way that the Jewish people prepared for receiving the Torah is this idea of Vayachanu Bamidbar, that they encamped in the desert, meaning what? Like the Gemara Nedarim says, that they lowered themselves, they humbled themselves. And the last way that they prepared themselves is through uniting as one. This is a famous idea when it says in the Pasuk, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Neged Ahar. So how many Jews were there? Was there only one? Vayichan Sham Yisrael, singular? Why is it saying it in a singular way? It should be saying Vayichan Sham Yisraelim, plural. Yet there is millions of Jews. So why does it say it in singular? So the Or HaChaim explains, because before, when they're in Rephidim, they were fighting a lot. And therefore Hashem said, you're not ready for the Torah yet. But the Or HaChaim says that what happened that now all of a sudden they were ready for the Torah is because Vayichan Sham Yisrael, they became like one. They became a nation. They united. And that's why they were Zocha to the Torah. So we see these three ways. Again, the three ways that the Jewish people prepared for receiving the Torah. Number one, by Yisum Erefidim, is that they strengthened themselves in their observance. Number two is this idea of fixing our midos, specifically the haughtiness and humbling ourselves. And the last idea is getting along with others. So that's idea number two. Moving on to idea number three. This week's Parsha, we see the incredible devotion of Moshe Rabbeinu to Hashem. Well, obviously we know that, but it was in a whole new level in this week's Parsha. Picking up Pasuk Chav Gimel, a little bit of background information. So Hashem had told Moshe, get the nation ready, get everyone ready, make sure that everyone knows no one is allowed to come up on the mountain. Okay, so Moshe says, okay, I got them ready. And then Hashem comes to Moshe again and he says, Moshe, make sure, please, go tell them again, make sure that no one's going to come up on the mountain. And in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Moshe responds, Vayomer Moshe al Hashem. Moshe says to Hashem, Lo yuchal ha'am la'alos al Har Sinai. They can't go up to Har Sinai. Ki ata hayadasa banu le'mor hagbel asahar b'kidashto. You told us that we have to set boundaries around the mountain. No one can go up. We have to be mekadesh the mountain. So let's stop there for a second. Look at the pasuk again. Hashem's telling Moshe, you need to go warn the people. Moshe says back, they can't go up because you warned them, you told us that we're not allowed to. Is Moshe being literal when he says, lo yuchal ha'am, they're not able to? I mean, physically, of course, they are able to. Right? Of course. Just if someone tells you, hey, don't move, are you not able to move? Of course you can move. Like, what does that mean? So what was Moshe saying here? So Rashi explains. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lo yuchah ha'am." Moshe says, "Any tzarech l'ha'ei b'hem." I don't need to warn them again. Shehari mutarim va'omdim hem hayom shloshes yamim. They're already standing for 3 days. They were preparing for three days. V'lo yuchlo alos she'ein lohem rishus. Look at those last three words. They're not able to go up she'ein lohem rishus because they don't have the permission. What do we see from this? Moshe's level of devotion to Hashem was such that when Hashem tells him something, he literally could not go against it. When there's a mitzvah or a losase, a law in the Torah, Moshe was like, I literally, physically cannot go against it. So Moshe was living in this realm of saying, Hashem, you're saying I should go tell them again, but I already told them, so they can't physically go up. And Hashem responds, now go back to Pasuk Chav Daled. Go back to Pasuk Chav Daled. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Elav Hashem, Lech Reid. Hashem says back to him, go down. Which, if you take it on a simple level, you could say, okay, he's telling Moshe, go down back to the people and tell them again, warn them again. But what we could say on a deeper level here is that what Hashem is saying to Moshe, he's saying, Lech Reid, go down from your level. You're on such a high level, you're not able to relate to the people right now. Lech Reid, go down to the people's level to understand that not everyone relates to me the same way that you do. Not everyone lives on this way that once we say, okay, you can't do this, they literally cannot do this. There's a story told with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was once davening Shmon Esrei. And there was a bacher who was behind him who was also davening Shmon Esrei. We know that there's a halacha that if someone is davening Shmon Esrei behind you, You can't take your 3 steps back if they're directly behind you until they finish their Shmoneh Esrei. So Rav Moshe finished davening, and he's waiting for this bacher, this boy behind him, to finish davening. And he's waiting, and he's waiting, and this bacher is going on, and finally, okay, he finished, fine. Afterwards, one of Rav Moshe's Talmidim comes over to me and says, Rebbe, I don't understand. Like, I know the halacha, but you're the Rosh Hashiva, and you're old, and you're tired. You could have probably, like, you know, said, I'm the Rosh Hashiva. Fine, you could have went in the diagonal way, whatever it is, and then taken a seat. And he said, I couldn't move. There was a brick wall behind me. That's the level that Moshe was talking about here. That's the true devotion to Hashem. And that's a level for us all to aspire to get to a point where when there's something in the Torah that we're not supposed to do or that we are supposed to do, then it's like, how could we not do it? Or how can we do it? Because that's the level of devotion that Moshe had, and as we see here in the story of Rav Moshe had, and maybe it's a thing with Moshe's, I don't know, but and something for us to all aspire to. That's idea number three. Idea number four. We know that there's so many mitzvos, especially when it comes to Pesach time, so many things that are zecher l'yetzias Mitzrayim. But if we see, interestingly, the first of the Asaras HaDibros, we see here it says, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, Asher HaTitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Bibeis Avodim. Why is Hashem telling us that He is our God also go back to Mitzrayim? It's a famous question, many of the commentaries deal with this, of why doesn't Hashem say, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Asher Asisi Shemayim Va'aretz, Asher Barasi Es Ha'olam? Like, why does He always go back to Mitzrayim? Why is He focusing on Mitzrayim in this case? And this is the question, Ibn Ezra brings this question, quoting it from the Kuzari. Right, look at the source right there. He says, Sha'ani Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, referring to the Kuzari, asked me, Lama Hizkir Asher Titzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim? Why does he say Asher Titzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim? V'lo Amar Asher Asisi Shemayim V'aretz V'ani Asisicha. Why that? So Rav Avram Shor explains a truly fascinating idea. Just to give some background information to his idea, he brings down, not in this paragraph, but in the previous paragraph. It was a very long paragraph, so I didn't put it here on the sources. But he explains. He brings the Gemara in Pesachim that says that just like we can kill someone who is chasing after a girl to rape her, we can also kill someone who's chasing after someone to kill them. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Kishem, just like we're allowed to kill a rapist, so too we're allowed to kill a rotzeach, a rodef. Now, whenever the Gemara puts two things like that, whenever you have like a just like this, the first thing is the obvious, and the second thing is the less obvious, right? So you would have thought, I would think, that it's more obvious that we can kill a murderer and not to kill someone who's chasing after someone to rape them, right? So why is that? Why is it going in that order? So Rav Avram Shor explains that the reason the Gemara goes in that order is teaching us an important idea. It is worse to make someone do a sin than to kill someone. Which is it's a strong and intense and radical idea, but that's straight up what the Gemara is saying. It is worse, again, we'll repeat it again. It is worse to make someone sin than to make someone kill somebody. And that's why chasing the person who is chasing the Nara Hamureses, that is more obvious. The Sfas MS, pick up right over here, the Sfas MS says, right? Based on this, Lama Ksiv Asher HaTesicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, the beginning of the paragraph. So he says, Yishem Dekamo Shagadol HaMachtio, just like it's greater to prevent someone from sinning. So too, he says, Gadol HaMazkehu Yoser HaMechaimo. What does that mean? Just like it's greater to prevent someone from sinning, so too, it's greater to give someone zechuyos rather than just giving them life. What does that mean? I mean, it's greater to if we would think about it, it seems very obvious and logical. Which is more important? Is it important to just live by getting by? Or is it more important to live by distancing ourselves from bad things and from things that are going to cause us to sin. Right? Obviously, it's greater to do that. But that explains what Rav Avram Shor is explaining here. That's what explains why is Hashem saying Asher Hotzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's, he explains the reason is because Sheze Yoser Gadol Me'etzam Habriya. To distance someone, we'll go up actually one more line. V'lochei ne'amar, asher otzicha shehu hatzala meira umechit. Asher otzicha, what did Hashem do when he was saving us from Mitzrayim, that he took us out from Mitzrayim? He was saving us from the disgusting, the filth, the horrible way of living that the Egyptians had. Right? He was saving us from that. And that is sheze yoser gadol me'etzam habriya. That is even greater than the fact that Hashem created the world, that Hashem created us. Because, yes, it's one thing to create us, that's huge. But it's another thing to help us even out even more, to distance us from the ra, from the horrible surroundings. And it's such an important idea for us to remember. This idea that it's brought up throughout the Torah about the importance of our surroundings. We see here that Hashem focuses in his first of the Aseret Dibros, focusing on Mitzrayim. Why? Because it's all about taking us out of bad surroundings. And it's such an important thing for us to remember and to distance ourselves from those bad surroundings. Let's end off the night with Rabbeinu Bathya. Amazing Rabbeinu Bathya. She takes one of the Aseret Dibros to such a new level. Not Aseret Dibros, but one of the commandments here. So the pasuk says, "Lo sa'asu niti elokei chesef ve'elokei zahav lo sa'asu lachem." Pasuk says we should not make gods of silver or gold, which we know what that means on a simple level. Okay, we shouldn't make idols out of silver or gold. Okay, very simple. Rabbeinu Bachya says an amazing, amazing, much deeper understanding of the pasuk. Look what he says: "V'yesh lefarish." What does it mean? Lo sa'asu iti. What does lo sa'asu niti mean? I think just to give a little more background, I think what the Rabbeinu Bach is coming, what he's picking up on is that why does the pasuk say it in this way? It could have said lo sa'asu l'cha pesel, the way it says it elsewhere, talking about making idols. Why does it say lo sa'asu niti? So he says kisha atem umdim b'tfila iti. What's lo sa'asu niti? When you are with me. When are we with Hashem? Obviously, we're always with Hashem. But when are we most with Hashem? When we're standing in tefillah, when we're talking to Hashem, when we're davening to Him. So he says, "Kisha atem omdim b'tefillah iti," when you are davening to me, "lo tachshavu bekesef v'zahav." Don't think about silver and gold, asheri machem, that's with you. Don't think about your business at that time. "She'im ta'asu kein ma'ala ani aleichem ki'ilu asisem elokei chesef elokei zahav." I will make it as if you made them, your silver, your gold, your business, whatever it is, your possessions, making those things into gods that you worship. Which is such a strong Rabbeinu Bachya, such a different way of reading this pasuk. But it's such an important idea that there's a time for us to think about business and a time for us to think about, you know, those things, and it's important for us to give that time. But there's also a time that we have to dive into Hashem. And if we don't give the time that we're actually davening to Hashem, then when are we giving to Hashem? When are we actually, it's the one, like a mincha, 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes. If you're not giving in the middle, it's the hardest time, it's the hardest one, it's in the middle of the work day. But if we can't get our mind off of our business for those 5-10 minutes, then when are we talking to God throughout the day? Of course, the rest of the time we are working. So, such an important idea for us to end off with. We'll just quickly recap everything we've discussed tonight. So the first idea we spoke about is why did Yisro really come? He came because he had this realization that God was the true God, but only after Mechamas HaMelech and Kriyas Yamsuf. Again, as the Maharal explains, not the Makos, because the Makos were Pratim. They were specific things which you could attribute to other gods, but the Mechamas HaMelech Kriyas Yamsuf showed that Hashem was the God in charge of the Shemayim and the Aretz. We learned about the three ways to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah from the seemingly out of order Pesukim and the extra Pasuk of Pasuk Beis, teaching us the idea that we need to strengthen ourselves in our learning of the Torah. From Vayisumi Rafidim, the idea of fixing our Midos, especially the haughtiness, Gaiva, which we see from the words of Vayechanu Bamidbar, as the Gemara Nedarim says. And the last idea of uniting, as it says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar Yisrael, being singular. We also spoke about Moshe's devotion to Hashem. Moshe's devotion in the way that he literally could not go up to the mountain. Once Hashem told him, and he thought that the Jewish people also couldn't, but Hashem told him, you got to go down to the level of the Jewish people. And the idea of that, why Hashem focuses on Mitzrayim, the idea that it's greater to distance ourselves from the Ra, from Ra, rather than just creating us. And the last idea that we spoke about, Rabbeinu Batra, is the deeper understanding of Lo Sa'asun Iti Elokei Chesed Ve'Elokei Zahav, is this idea of making sure that when we are with Hashem, when we are with Hashem in Tefillah, we don't think about the Zahav and the Kesef in our lives, because otherwise it becomes like Elokei Kesef Elokei Zahav. Okay, thank you very much.